if you could find brand new worlds right here on Earth, where anything is possible? Same planet, different dimension.
I found the gateway.
The Rewatch Podcast presents The Sliders Rewatch, dedicated to the series Sliders on Fox and Sci-Fi Channel. Join us each week as we continue crossing the Einstein-Rosen-Podolsky Bridge and find ourselves in strange new worlds. Email your thoughts on each episode to the Rewatch Podcast at gmail.com. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/rewatchpodcast or on Twitter at rewatchpod. Welcome back to the Rewatch Podcast and our Sliders Rewatch. I'm Corey.
And I'm recovering from a cold. No, really, I am. So I apologize if my voice is a bit different.
You sound great. Okay, so thank you for joining us. Of course, we're discussing two more episodes of Sliders. This week it is State of the Art and Season's Greetings. Okay, so kicking it off with the first episode this week. The episode is State of the Art. Written by Nan Hagen, with story by Shula Kent, directed by John T. Kretschmer.
I think it might be Skyler.
Skyler?
I'm thinking maybe that's how you say it. Like, I'm looking at that name, I'm like, that's a weird name with that Y in there.
Like a German way of spelling it.
Could be. I don't know. Sorry, Mr. Kent.
Sorry, we're butchering your first name. I don't know. It looks like Shuler. Because I was going through iterations and I was like, Schuyler?
So you get the fun stuff there.
Yeah, it could be Skyler.
It was by some guy named Kent, his last name.
Mr. Kent. So this originally aired December 6th of 1996.
Which is my birthday, I might say.
Awesome.
That's right. Well, I mean, not 1996, obviously, but December 6th.
There you go.
Do you have a name? Something people call you by?
I'm an Alden D.063, but I'm called Derek, which is an acronym for the Delta Model of the Emotional Response Intelligence Chip Unit. What models are you? I'm not familiar with your designs.
Actually, we're not robots.
You're human. How fascinating.
The fascination is mutual. Believe me.
You who repaired me, did I sustain injury to my power supply?
Your power unit's fine. You just had a couple of burnt wires.
That must be why I shut down. And why the RPP didn't detect my energy output.
RPP, does that refer to the person chasing you?
He's a Recall Patrol Paul unit. And he's not a man. Is my friend in the adjoining workroom?
You were the only one working, so...
You left him out there? I must get to him.
Our sliders slide into a seemingly abandoned city near the remains of a robot. Within minutes, a Humvee whips around the corner chasing two men and shooting at them. Wade, Remy, and Arturo are able to escape, but Quinn is shot after the guard in the Humvee, known as an RPP, a remote patrol PAL unit, inspects the area for electronic life. It leaves, not finding any. Quinn awakes and with the rest of the gang discovers that one of the robots is still functional. Together, Arturo and Quinn manage to repair the robot known as Derek, a fourth stage ERI robotic unit who is surprised to see humans, taking fascination with Wade. He explains that when Father, James Alden, discovered that ERIs could become unpredictable because of their self-learning mode and ability to later alter their own programming, he tried recalling the almost 3,000 units home to be reprogrammed or dismantled, but many did not choose to follow the command. As the group goes to retrieve Derek's friend, they are once again pursued by the RPP and they split up to escape. Quinn and Remy are captured, and after seeing blood on Quinn's face, the Paul Walls take them to the factory. It is there that they meet James Alden, who has a plan to take their brains and implant them into robotic bodies, thereby creating immortal androids, something he wishes to do for himself as well. Quinn and Remy develop a plan to escape their room, while Arturo, Wade, and Derek, along with a repaired Erica unit, develop a plan to steal one of the Paul's vehicles and break into the factory. The groups reunite but are captured by Alden, who sends the ERIs to the task room for dismantling and sends Quinn for immediate downloading into his robotic body. Quinn overloads the transfer process by singing Tears in My Fro, stimulating his brain in as many places as possible, making a copy extremely difficult. Remy, Wade, and Arturo bust out of their room and overpower the robots overseeing the brain transfer. They rescue Quinn, but while escaping, end up firing at Alden, revealing him to be the android he had tried to create, his own brain downloaded by his robots years ago. Alden's wife decides to leave him deactivated while Arturo reactivates Derek, teaching him how to reactivate Erica, and the group slides away.
It's true. Paul just informed me. Where did they come from?
According to them, another dimension.
Passing between dimensions is highly possible. It would require opening an energy passage of identical polarity and identifying parallel coordinates for exit and entry. The calculations involved in determining those factors would be impossible for a human to reach on their own.
I used a computer.
Yes, you'd have to.
Another one of your creations, huh?
When my wife Shauna died, I couldn't bear the loneliness. So, I simply recreated the woman I fell in love with. She's an Erica model. But with my constant tinkering, I've managed to keep her working just fine. The perfect wife and lover.
You look shocked.
I just wouldn't have thought that was possible.
Well, as I told you before, the ERIs replicated the most basic of human functions.
All right, so we have a fair bit of trivia here for this episode.
We do. So originally, they were not supposed to be Humvees, but hovercrafts. And I imagine that they cut that because it's just money, you know, to create a hovercraft. Exactly. There was an original idea to have yet again a problem with the timer. So when they slid in, the timer was going to be damaged. And then throughout the episode, they were going to be trying to find ways to repair that as well, which, you know, they've done that a lot, and it just gets old. But the thing with this script is, originally, the timer does get repaired by the last scene, but there's no explanation why or how it got repaired. It was just all better by the last scene in the original script. It's like, oh, yeah, oh, here, great, it's working. All right, time to slide.
Yeah. Plus, it's not as suspenseful in such a, I guess, technologically advanced world.
Exactly, exactly. So they dropped that idea. Derek was originally going to be called Eric, which I actually like because it makes sense with Eric and then Erica, you know, the female version later. I thought that was a good idea.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, they changed it. I was thinking maybe it's because he was the Delta model, so they just put the D in front and, you know, whatever. Shauna, his Alden's wife, was originally going to be named Maggie, which is interesting.
Considering
yeah,
we're going to meet a Maggie very soon.
Yeah, exactly. The scene with Remy, you know, saying how he's not pulling his weight, that wasn't a part of the original script. That was added later. I don't know if they were just trying to, you know, said, hey, we got to do something with this character, because he really didn't have a ton to do this episode. So I guess they threw that in there at the end. There was a conversation in which Erica, you know, she was kind of jealous of Wade and Derek. But there was a scene where Arturo is talking with Erica and implies that Derek has a crush on Wade. So he sort of plants the seed in Erica early on when they first talk. That was kind of interesting, but still it kind of puts Arturo in a bad light then. There was some more tender moments between Wade and Derek before the kiss. There was stuff about quoting Shakespeare to each other. There was a hug. And then there's a scene where you see Erica watching them from far off, and she gets very angry and jealous then. There was more of a fight for the sliders to get into the control room where Quinn was being held. So instead of just, you know, popping in like they did, they had a plan with Wade distracting some of the Pauls while the other guys came up behind them and grabbed their guns and shot them down. It was probably cut for time, I imagine. And then originally, Alden was not supposed to be in a wheelchair. He was supposed to have had Alzheimer's disease. And then when he was downloaded, the explanation was that the Alzheimer's had destroyed certain parts of his brain, so those parts weren't downloaded.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's why he wouldn't have remembered that he was a android at that point.
Right. I mean, that's maybe just overcomplicating things.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, there's not a whole lot in there that was like you needed to have. Just little extra bits here and there.
I'm one of them.
You didn't know?
Shauna? How?
Your experiment. It worked. Paul downloaded you.
How long have I been like this?
7 years.
Works. Actually works.
Getting into our discussion of state of the art. So, you know, I kind of like when the sliders slide in somewhere and it's just deserted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very ominous. It's kind of like a cool way to sort of set up. We could go anywhere with this.
True, yep, true, true.
I think the last time we saw it was probably, spider wasps, maybe?
Yeah, there's a message in time about that, too, about the deserted world, which we'll get to. But yeah, I think that might have been, maybe that was the last real time they were in an abandoned city when they slid in.
Yeah, but I do really dig the purple sky.
You like the purple sky?
Yeah, I just thought it was a nice little touch.
I suppose it was. I mean, there's an explanation for that, of course. You know why, you know, that there's a purple sky.
Yeah, particles, light waves.
Yeah.
Yada, yada, yada. So I don't know. I kind of dig this world, you know. They make it just different enough, and it was cool. But, you know, immediately they're, like, shot at by a bunch of these, what they call poles.
Right.
But they're robots. And I love that Quinn gets shot with this, like, electric gun. And then they do, like, a bit of a scan, and they quickly figure out that they weren't looking for life signs. They were looking for electrical life.
Right.
I guess ostensibly, exactly. Right. And then, like, Quinn just immediately gets over being shot by this electric gun.
Yeah.
He gets up and he gives a bit of, like, a, no, I'm good.
Yeah. Those sliders heal pretty quickly. Remember, Remy, you know, he healed pretty quickly from his cesarean section there.
That's true. You know, they pick up Derek, as he's called, and they fix him up right. They take him to this TV store, you know, like an electrical supply store, right?
Right.
And for some reason, in this scene, like, all the TVs are turned on.
Right. See, I hadn't noticed that until you mentioned it. And I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. I don't know why those TVs are on, but maybe that ties into how the robots took over, you know, and just maybe they were just left on because that was what was happening at the time. The TVs were on because it's a showroom for TVs, and, you know, they've kept things going on this world with power, obviously, and everything, so no one ever thought to turn them off, I guess.
I just thought it was an odd choice for the scene, you know. They're in this store, and just all the TVs are on in the background. I was like, did they walk in there and turn on all the TVs? And then,
you know, maybe
them.
Yeah, maybe that's what they did, because, you know, in the season 1 and 2, which they don't do too much anymore, but they're always watching TV to get a look into the this dimension's, like, you know, world, because TV, like, they even said that in the one episode, how TV, you know, gives them an idea of what people are like in this world. So maybe that's what they were thinking.
Yeah, like maybe something would be broadcast eventually.
Right. They're like, turn on every TV, because, you know, we can't just change the channel on one of them. Turn them all on. Just let's make sure.
But, of course, Arturo manages to fix up Derek. And it does look like Arturo does the brunt of the work. Like, usually when it comes to this sort of stuff, like, Quinn and Arturo bounce off each other. But it just seems like Arturo took the lead on, which I guess is needed because he's also going to fix Erica later by himself.
Yep.
I love the orange leather. Or vinyl, whatever it is that he's wearing there.
Yeah, it was an interesting choice there. I mean, you may love them, but Wade really loves them. This is something I was like, what the heck's she doing? I didn't remember this, like, quite the way I saw it this time when I first watched it. Like, when he introduces himself, she's just, like, entranced by Derek for a little bit there, you know? Like, what did she say? Like, the fascination is all mine or something like that? I forget what the line was. But she's, like, looking at him and, like, smiling. And, like, after, like, if you notice, if you watch, after she seems so fascinated, he starts talking, what's his name? Derek starts talking. And if you look at Arturo looks at Wade, like, with this smile on his face, like, what are you doing? What, why are you being so googly-eyed at this thing?
I do like how they have the differing opinions between Arturo and Wade.
Oh, yeah. It was a great debate.
Yeah, especially later when Arturo's working on fixing Erica. It comes to that whole thing about how Wade says, oh, you're being rude to him and blah, 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 blah. And then he comes back with, like, he's not a person. Like,
right.
He's a robot. And then she tries to do the whole thing about, like, the battery is here and, you know, he has receptors, which are coming, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And I was like, seriously? Like,
that was a little heavy-handed.
Yeah. And then when it gets to when they kiss, I was like, okay, yeah. I know that she's going to come back around and realize that, yes, indeed, he's not a person.
Yeah, as soon as it happens, she's like, oh, no. This is not good. I'd like, you know, like, now, like, where do you fall with Arturo or do you fall with Wade on this? I'm guessing Arturo.
I don't know. I think it's kind of a mesh of both because he is a person in the way he looks. And he does seem to have, like, a learning capacity, which can be, I guess, construed as emotion and feeling.
Right.
But at the same time, yeah, he is just a robot.
Right. I guess the thing is, like, I agree. Because he is an actual machine. He has what appears to be emotions, and he can think, and he can learn and all that. But, you know, his emotions and stuff, that's just simulated. You know, that's just a computer programming, you know, and it's saying, oh, well, given this situation, normally someone would act like this. And then, you know, he expresses that type of emotion. So, yeah, I'm more with Arturo. He is an actual machine. Now, the other thing I was thinking of, which I came up with this. I didn't even think about it until now. What they didn't really dive into, which maybe they could have done more. And not that I didn't like this episode, but what might have made it stand out more is if they have delved not into whether Derek's a person, but whether real sentience. You know what I mean? Like with Star Trek, you know, they did the whole Data thing where he was on trial for whether he qualifies as a sentient being or something.
Yeah.
It's been a while. If they had done something like that, this episode might have, like, been just that much better to really be a more standout episode. It's not bad, but it just, for me, it's just kind of like, it's all right. It's not a bad episode. It just doesn't stick out as one of the great ones for myself.
Yeah. And, you know, even when they get into the history, being that it is the olden robotic technologies, they had created this robotic workforce. And it turns out that there was some sort of malfunction with one of the models. Became aggressive, and pretty much they ended up wiping out the entire human race.
The thing that I had a problem with was that they said there were 3,000 of these models. It was the emotional response something. It was ERI, emotional response, I don't know, intelligence or something. It was something having to do with emotions. And they said there was a conflict when the emotions conflicted with the logic, like the logic sensors or something like that. So the emotion programming and the logic programming did not match up, and it caused the malfunction, which if you think about it, that's kind of like, you know, real humans, because that's the whole thing. You know, do you follow your heart? Do you follow your brain? That's always causing us to make decisions one way or the other. But in the case of a program, you know, it caused such a conflict that, you know, everybody died, which is like, I don't know, how did 3,000 robots take out all the humans on Earth?
Yeah, that's right. 7 billion people.
Right. You know, I mean, I guess it's possible, you know, but it just, that seemed a little far-fetched for me. Maybe if they had taken out all the humans in like this certain particular area, I don't know. I mean, it would have been a much different story because then, you know, if they only took out the humans in one area or one country, other humans obviously still exist and could retaliate against, you know what I mean?
Who knows? There could be some sort of human resistance out there.
Our sliders did not meet up with the human resistance.
Damn it.
Not this time. But yeah, it was, I liked that idea. I like the idea of how the logic and the emotions conflicted, because that is just like humans.
But, you know, Quinn and Remy are captured by the Paul. And they're taken to see what the robots call father. And it's Robert Englund.
Yes.
As James Alden. So You know, I love seeing Robert Englund. I kind of like that guy. I mean, this guy does a lot of drag. I don't know. Have you seen many of like his movies outside of Nightmare on Elm Street?
No, I've seen one, I think. I think I've seen one or two Nightmare on Elm Streets, maybe at most. And I didn't know a whole lot about him. I knew who he was because I had friends who were like kind of into him and like, you know, from magazines because, you know, they'd have horror magazines when I go over their house and they would show interviews with him and stuff like that. So I sort of knew who he was, but I never saw anything outside of that.
He really does do a lot of stuff just for a paycheck. Right. I'll put it that way. You don't want to see everything with Robert Englund in it, doesn't
it? Gotcha.
But it's cool to see him show up here in an episode of Sliders, you know, playing this James Alden character who I think was very, very interesting. You know, he's in the wheelchair and, you know, he kind of comes off as a bit of a nice guy at the beginning, regardless of having created the robot workforce that killed the entire planet.
Right. But at this point, you're like, well, it's just accidental. You know, he's not a bad guy. He regrets it.
Exactly. So when he flips on them on a dime, he just turns on them. I'm believing it. You know, I think he plays that great level of creepiness, you know, just walking the fine wire between he's a good guy or he's a bad guy.
Yeah, I thought he did a really good job. I liked him.
Yeah.
I liked him in this better than I enjoyed Freddy because I'm not a horror fan really myself. So, I thought he was great.
Yeah. I love those, you know, icon slasher movies.
Right.
Freddy, Jason, Michael Myers, all that stuff. That's my jam. But, you know, moving on in the story, of course, Arturo and Wade go with Derek. And he needs Arturo to fix Erica. And, you know, we don't know this yet, but, of course, the Erica models are the ones that had the malfunction. So she managed to repair herself somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Yet later on, we do see, you know, a streak of what could happen when she when she confronts Wade about her relationship with Derek.
Yeah, and it was very sudden, you know? It's like, boom, whoa, she's not happy.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of Wade and Arturo, and then we just had Quinn and Remy together. These are team-ups that we don't see too often in Sliders. In fact, I don't think we've seen it really before this episode, really. It's always been Quinn and Arturo, you know, or Quinn and Wade, or Remy and Wade, or Remy and Arturo. But not too often do we see Quinn and just Remy together.
That's an interesting observation. I never really thought about it.
I didn't think about it much either. But over at earthprime.com, I was reading one of the reviews, and they pointed that out. And I'm like, you know what? They're right, because it doesn't happen very often at all. You know, if you have Quinn and Remy talking, one of the other two are usually around as well.
Well, I guess that explains, you know, why we get this great little scene between Quinn and Remy about Remy's usefulness to the group.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because Quinn is essentially, he is the leader, you know, and Remy's just feeling at this point, as Quinn, you know, does his science techno whiz with the lights and the wires and everything, Remy's like, oh, geez, what can I do? You know, I'm just a singer.
Yeah. And I do love that Quinn sort of reassures him, you know, when he says, we've been in some pretty hairy situations, you know, and just when I think it's, you know, going to go south, there's Remy, which is true, because how often in those early episodes did we say like, oh, Remy just happened to show up like right now.
right. Oh, yeah.
He's there with the taxi. Let's go.
Exactly. Just in time. That's true. Yeah.
Well, not to devalue him as a character, though. You know, he does. Yeah. He does contribute to the group.
Well, I do. I like that Quinn, you know, said that, because see, that's what a leader does. You know, he takes the people under him and sort of like, you know, reassures them that they're making a contribution, that they're needed, that they're wanted. You know, so it was good. I thought that was neat to see this different type of team up. And I don't think, like, I'm trying to look ahead now. Like, I'm thinking, I'm like, are there other team-ups like that coming? I don't think there are.
No, I don't think so. You know, we are going to get into the evil plan, because Alden wants to create new models. You know, he's got all these, you know, he's got a limited amount of models that he's created. So he's going to model two new robots on Quinn and Remy. And, you know, I kind of like that scene where he was showing them, like, the different models, and he had one called Matt, which was based on himself.
And yeah, he says, me at 22 or something like that.
Yeah, me at 22.
Or me at 33. Yeah, something.
Yeah, something like that. But, you know, I thought that was cool. You know, he does, Derek even explains, you know, ERI models. Like you said, like he was going to be called Eric, but then he was the data model, so they named him Derek.
Right.
You know, just little drop lines to sort of explain all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the big plan is that he's actually going to download their minds into the robot bodies because he wants to do this for himself, you know, this way he can live forever. But little does he know, spoiler alert for the end, he is a robot.
Exactly. I can't remember now when I watched it if I saw that coming or not. I don't think I did.
It is a bit haphazard.
Right.
They're shooting at all these poles, and then suddenly Alden is like right next to one as it gets shot. So all these wires and the green goo pour out of his arm.
The fact that Alden's a robot, I mean, although he is, like, he thinks he's human, it sort of gives, maybe it explains a little bit more about how he's okay with having a robotic wife.
Well, he does sort of, you know, have like a mini freak out where he's screaming like, I'm one of them.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
So yeah, you know, it is that whole thing about how, yeah, he's got this robotic wife who, it is implied, he gets quite physical with.
It is implied, definitely, you know. And I'm thinking about this whole thing now. Would you want to be downloaded into a robot version of yourself?
It's a tough call.
It is. I've thought about this.
You could live forever.
Exactly. And you could, like, you could look exactly how you want to look. You know,
that's
you
true.
Don't have to be you as you are. You can go ahead and get those 6-pack abs, you know. You can, you know, build up your biceps a little bit, you know. It's still you. You know, your face could still be the same, you know, trim off a little of, you know, I got these little cheeks a little puffy here. I'll take care of that, you know.
It would be, if it was safe. I mean, by the end of it, we do learn that, you know, certain parts of the mind didn't transfer very well for Alden.
Right.
And that's why he sort of became this creepy, ruthless guy.
Yeah. It was his ethics or something like that, or his morals or something was gone or changed.
Yeah. So it's hard to say, you know, whether or not you are completely transferred, you know, the whole thing about the soul and the humanity.
Exactly.
Are you losing something by transferring your mind?
It all depends on how you view your life. Like, do you have a soul, or do you not believe in that? You know, it depends, I guess, on your own personal beliefs, whether or not you would, you know, be able to transfer that.
Yeah, it would be a tough call, you know. Would you cease to live, you know, just because you're transferring your mind? You know,
right.
Is it still you, kind of thing?
I wonder if you do this. Now, here you go. If you have, you know, unlimited money, maybe you get transferred into the robotic body. So now you're there in an android, but maybe you can keep your actual physical body alive with machines and such so that if something goes wrong, you can be transferred back in. There's like another possibility.
Fail safe or something.
Right, right.
I don't know. It would be a tough call, you know. We can speculate because the technology doesn't exist. But
well, exactly. You don't have to worry.
I really don't know. I don't know. It'd be cool.
Yeah, I think it'd be pretty neat. The thing that I'd get worried about is if something got broken, like, you'd have to make sure that you have stuff that can fix you. Like, if I was like Quinn and Remy, I wouldn't want to be downloaded into those bodies because they're sliding all over the place and they could slide into a world where they don't have the ability to repair themselves.
Yeah, or would they need to charge themselves or something
right,
like that?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, if they get somewhere with no electricity and they run out of battery, then they're screwed.
Right, right. So it brings up an interesting question, that's all.
You know? And, you know, the whole scene where they are downloading Quinn into the robot and he tries to, like, scramble the transfer by just flooding his mind.
Right.
And so he's thinking of a song, and that song is Tears in My Fro.
I like that they use music because they say that music stimulates many different parts of your brain.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like all different areas. So that it makes scientific sense there.
And I loved his rendition of Tears in My Fro as well.
Yeah, it was. I will do at least better than that when I get around to recording.
Yes, we're all looking forward to it. But, you know, they attempt an escape out of the room. Of course, Remy plays his part, coming up with the water to conduct electricity. But they're thrown back in the room once they're captured again.
Right.
And this time, it's escape from the room, round two. Just kick the walls in.
Exactly.
And Arturo just goes like a boss at that wall and punches it through.
I mean, it's a good idea because, like, I was thinking about it. I was like, at first, I was like, it's lame. Just kick the wall down. But then I, like, looking at the place, it's not a prison. It's not like a real, like, room that, like, you would hold prisoners in. It's like, it looks like a normal living quarters, you know? So it makes sense that, okay, well, they could actually kick through the wall. It's just, you know, like, it's a normal room. It's not like some kind of big, you know, secure facility like they normally get thrown in.
Yeah, it's a good point. But, you know, I think all in all, I kind of like this episode. I thought it was good. I thought that Derek and Erica were interesting characters. Alden was very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, I kind of like the twist ending that there are no humans left.
I like the episode, but for some reason, it just doesn't, like, it never stood out for me. You know, it's like one of those episodes that, like, yeah, it's not bad. I could watch it. It's not like the Dream Masters, you know? It's not like The Fire Within, which I know you like, but hey, you know, it's okay if you're wrong. Anyway, it's like one of those episodes. It's like, all right, it's not too bad. It's not super great, but it's like middle of the road for me. I can't like get down on it too much.
I honestly have to give props to the actor who played Derek. I thought he especially was a bit of a standout for the episode, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I'm actually a huge fan of Dawson's Creek. That show started when I was in high school.
I don't think I've ever seen it. I may have seen like an episode or two.
He showed up for one season of Dawson's Creek.
Oh, okay.
As this uber religious guy.
Oh.
And he got involved with Jen, the character Jen, who was like a big slut.
I could see where that's going.
Yeah, so they kind of got involved with each other, and he had his whole arc, and I think he did a good job there too, you know, of like, you know, the innocent religious guy and the super slut and how their relationship played out. So, you know, right. I'd seen this guy before. He would have done Dawson's Creek about a year or so after doing this episode, so
Yeah, he was good. Yeah, I thought he did a good job.
Yeah, I thought he did a bit of a standout performance as the Derek robot.
Because, I mean, when you're playing a robot, it's very easy to get very wooden, to like act like in a stereotypical way, you know, for a robot. But I think he did good. I think it was really good.
Yeah.
And now, another episode of That's Random with Remy.
Hark the herald jeweler sing, buy your wife a diamond ring.
This has been another episode of That's Random with Remy.
Okay, so moving on to the second episode. The episode is Season's Greetings, written by Aaliyah Horwitz, directed by Richard Compton. This originally aired December 20th of 1996. Now, you said your birthday was December 6th for the last episode. My birthday is actually December 23rd.
Oh, so close. That'd have been perfect.
But of course, this is a Christmas episode, so that's why we're at December 20th.
And I want a Sammy Spader doll. And I want a Cosmic Turbo Fighter Jet. And I want the sticky, nasty ooh.
Why don't we try something different for a change, eh? How about something to stimulate your imagination? Like a chemistry set or building blocks.
Look, Sam, if you don't give me what I want, they'll know.
All right, I'll give you what you want, but first you're going to have to listen to a little story, okay? Once upon a time, there was a rotten, stinky little boy who was greedy.
Our sliders arrive in a world controlled by extreme consumerism, where people buy above their income by using credit and then are forced to work off their debt at the Sky High Plaza, a mall/small town suspended in the clouds, housing a system that never really allows the debt-ridden workers to pay it off fully. Upon arrival, they realize it's Christmas and decide to visit a chapel nearby to give thanks for getting out of their last slide alive. While there, a woman asks Arturo to hold her baby while she lights a candle and immediately disappears, leaving the sliders with the child. They plead with the father of the chapel to give them 2 days to find the child's mother before turning him over to the welfare services. Upon entering Sky High and getting jobs, Wade sees her father and sister, but they don't recognize her because on this world, Wade died in childbirth along with her mother. Arturo, attempting to change this world's greedy children one story at a time, eventually finds Carol, the child's mother, but she says he is better off because she is so much in debt that she can't afford to raise him. Remy falls subject to the subliminal advertising, eventually becoming dangerously obsessed with buying enough gifts for his friends. After the gang discovers subliminal messages in this world's advertisements, Remy realizes what's happened to him and he apologizes. This also shows how people get into such great amounts of debt and are forced to work for the malls, basically becoming their slave workforce. Wade's father approaches Wade, seeing a resemblance between her and Kelly, and offers a home-cooked meal. As the two talk, she learns of his desires to get out of the mall, to be really able to talk to Kelly again. But due to his debt and Kelly's desire to please her boss, he feels trapped. Even trying to talk to Kelly doesn't go well because of her intense desire to climb the corporate ladder. Quinn and Wade break into Burnson's office to find proof of the advertisements, but trip a security alarm and then are discovered by Kelly. They explain the scam system and reveal that Wade is her sister from another dimension. Together, they find the proof and expose Burnson, toppling his empire, deleting the debts, destroying the bracelets, and ending his career. Kelly and her father find themselves back together as a family, and during their final night together, Wade and Kelly decide that it would be too much for their father to lose Wade again, so they keep her identity a secret. Some final heartfelt conversations and goodbyes are had, and the sliders slide out.
We made those before we could afford to buy any. Kelly's the little girl, and that's my wife.
She looks so young.
Well, we weren't much older than you when we got married.
If you don't mind me asking, what happened to her?
She died in childbirth, along with her second little girl.
I'm so sorry.
Thank you. Kelly and I didn't move to the mall until after Liz died. I look around this room, I can still feel her presence. Look at Kelly. I can see her smile and kind of see her intelligence. Even you remind me of her.
It's my eyes. People always tell me that my eyes look just like... I can see the resemblance in the picture.
Sure. Well, I'll see you about dinner.
Okay, so again, we got more than enough behind-the-scenes trivia on this episode.
Yeah, there was a lot with this one. There was like a ton. Originally, they were going to slide in a canoe, similar to how they sort of bobsled into the, was it the desert world, I think? Yeah, they were going to be, the vortex was going to open, and it was going to be like a big splash of water, and they were going to have like, you know, ridden the canoe right through the vortex with spears all over the canoe, like they were being attacked by the pygmies, were they, I think. So, you know, I mean, they've done that thing before. I think this would have been neat to see the water and the canoe. I don't know. That's just me. But again, you know, time or budget wise, you know, it would cost more. The mall originally wasn't going to be in the sky like it was, because those graphics were a little cheesy with the mall and the clouds, you know, just a little bit. Originally, it was just going to be a very big mall, really tall, bigger than the Mall of America. It was supposed to be 12 stories high and 8 miles long is what they had said in the original script. So yeah, just a little more realistic, basically, is what they were going for. Carol, all right, was the name of the woman with the child, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Kelly goes up to talk to that worker who she docks her 2 days pay or whatever. That worker was supposed to be Carol. And I don't know why they decided to switch it. Maybe they didn't want them to discover Carol so early in the story, and they wanted to find her later. But for whatever reason, they changed it. But yeah, Carol was supposed to be that mall worker that got docked pay for not spending enough and for saving up money for, you know, prescriptions. It was a really good scene because it showed Kelly and her dad like at odds, because Kelly's being like a total hard ass to this, you know, to Carol. And, you know, her dad comes up and he's like, you know what? I want to help you here. This is a mall gift card. This will count towards your spending. Use this to, you know, to make up for that, you know? And like she walks away happy. But Kelly's like, that's against mall regulations. You know, you can't do that. And they have a little argument, and Wade steps in to intervene, you know, to sort of defend her father there. So it sort of sets the stage for them talking together later, you know, like getting closer. It was a neat scene. I thought that would have been neat to have in there, but it, like I said, it changes the pace of the story, you know.
Yeah, would have, yeah, like drawn it out a little bit more possibly. Yeah.
So let's see. Originally in the script, Remy didn't like singing the altered Christmas carols. You know, he was changing those words. Those were things he was supposed to sing in the original script, and he just didn't like doing it, because it was too commercial to him. There was a reference to the advertisements tape, you know, how they have the advertisement on constant loop everywhere. Apparently they had to sign it out in order to have it at the Santa station or wherever they were working. They had to sign out these tapes because they said, these tapes are like gold. You make sure you don't lose these. And obviously that's because they don't want people to discover that there's subliminal advertising in them. The dad asks Wade if maybe she's related to him because she signed her last name Wells just like him. So it's just a little extra scene there of them talking. The kids are asking for toys, just like they do in the final episode. And as they're asking for this toy and that toy, Arturo says to the kid on his lap, he's going, well, that's the same thing that the last kid and the last kid and the last kid asked for. Why don't you ask for something different, you know, something special? And that's when the kid answers, just as he does in the final episode, if you don't give me what I want, they're watching, they'll know. So it was just a little extra line in there with Arturo trying to push, you know, for, you know, that Christmas spirit instead of consumerism.
Right. Instead, they just tightened the script up.
Yeah, exactly. There was a whole conversation with Quinn and Wade before they went sliding. She was going to say, remember before we went sliding and I sort of had a crush on you and I invited you over for dinner? Well, you couldn't take your eyes off my sister, you know? There was this whole jealousy thing between Wade and Kelly. And so, like, Quinn was, like, totally into her. And that's why, you know, in this final episode, it's hinted at a little bit that Kelly likes him or that Quinn likes her, but it wasn't really explored that much. But that was the original idea, that Quinn was kind of into Kelly originally back before the whole show started. So I thought that was interesting, but it was probably a little bit too much to put into the episode.
Yeah, they do kind of just drop that.
Yeah, it's there. It's like, okay, you just sort of accept it. But I thought that was a neat idea. And then you reference the original pilot, you reference the Quaid that we've always wanted, you know, you reference that a little bit with her saying, I had a crush on you. And I thought it was neat. There was originally Carol was not called Carol. Her name was Mary in the original script. And I just noticed it's like we got Carol, you know, Christmas Carol. We've got Mary from The Christmas Story. I didn't notice that when I was typing these things up till just now. The character names. There was a lot more with Wade and her father, like a lot. I mean, these things, like, if only, you know, like you had more time, you know, it would have been nice to have seen these things acted out. And you could read all these, you know, all these lines and scenes over at dimensionsofcontinuity.com. You know, great scenes with Wade and her father bonding, you know, just talking about family, you know. And at one point, her father says something like, you know, well, you never give up on family. They're all you really have in life. And as he says that, she says it with him at the end, you know, like at the end of that line. It's like another moment where they kind of just like come together. It's like, it's like for a Christmas episode, it's like, oh, that's sweet. You know, that's great. And then, oh, there was a whole nother scene with Burnson about why he was doing what he was doing. Like, why did he do this subliminal advertising? Why did he want people in debt? Well, what he was basically doing was making sure that these people got into debt, couldn't afford their housing, and he bought their housings So he would have like just like tons of property at the end of the day. He would just have tons of people's properties that he would own because they couldn't pay their debt. So he was like a, I don't know, a land baron. I don't know what the word for that would be.
I don't know, some sort of like weirdo pyramid scheme, maybe.
I guess, yeah. It's like, but that was the original thing. It says that, wow, look at all these. They look at the computer and they're like, look at all these properties under his name. You know, like he just has tons of properties because he could buy them up so cheap since they were in debt. Property values, I guess, go down. I don't know how it works, but that was the idea that they had said in the original script, that, you know, that was his whole scheme. It was a lot bigger than just making the mall the best mall, you know, the most profitable mall. It was bigger than that. And then finally, something I'm glad they changed. They had the that picture they took at the end after the sliders slide. There's a shot of Kelly and her father looking at the photo, and the camera zooms in on the photo so that you could only see just the sliders because they were in the center. And as it zooms in on just the sliders, writing was going to come on the screen that said, like, Happy Holidays, Merry Christmas. And I'm like, oh, I'm glad they changed that because that's too much.
Yeah.
Way too much there.
Cheesy, cliche. No.
I mean, you know, it's a Christmas episode, but we don't have to go overboard.
It's not Charlie Brown here.
Hey, Charlie Brown doesn't exist on this world.
It's true.
I used all of my available credit to pay someone to smuggle me out. That's how I was able to get Alex to the flats. Now he won't have to grow up a prisoner like his mother.
No, he'll just grow up with the horror of having been abandoned.
Who are you to judge me? What I did for him.
Carol, listen to me. In the closing days of World War II, I was a small child. My mother took me out of the country to spend some time with some elderly aunts. The second night we were there, their house was bombed. My aunts were killed. I woke up to find the firemen pulling my dead mother off my chest. She had thrown herself over me to protect me, you see. They did not know who I was. They had no way of identifying me. My father was in India, fighting. So they put me in an orphanage. Till the war ended, and he came back to pick me up. 4 months, every day and every night, I wept because I knew I would never see my parents again. All my life, I have lived with a fear and terror of that abandonment. I beg you, don't do this to your child.
No.
Don't let your child grow up with that demon.
I won't. I'm gonna pay off my debt. I'm gonna have this removed, and then I'm gonna get him back.
Look, will you wake up? The system is so set up that you cannot possibly pay back the debt. You are always going to have this on your wrist, and unless we do something special, you will never get to see your child. I promise you, I don't know what I'm going to do yet, but I will do everything I can to help you. In the meantime, don't build up more debt.
Okay, so getting into our discussion of season's greetings. You know, again, they're mixing it up with, like, coming out of the vortex from the previous world. And I think this is, you know, probably better than most, is yeah. That they were fighting off pygmies.
Exactly. I liked it. I thought it was a good little start, you know, not too much talking about it, just a little bit. It was funny, you know.
You know, it is kind of tying into that whole thing about how Wade wanted a baby. Remember how just like blatantly threw that out
in the fire within
for no reason?
She
has that one line where she says, how did I know that smiling at him meant I would bear his children?
Right. Well, I don't know, Wade. Maybe you did know that. Maybe you just wanted to have his baby.
Yeah, little pygmy babies. And then immediately, they get a baby.
Oh, yes, they do, right away.
Because this woman, Carol, comes along and asks Archer to hold her baby, and then she just takes off.
Yes. She's gone.
But that was a gorgeous-looking church, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. I loved it. It seemed like it was like very outdoorsy to me. Like it seemed, I don't know. Maybe it was just I liked it. It was really nice.
Yeah, I think it's just like one of those things that you can find in LA, you know, they're shooting in LA now, so let's take advantage of some of these like more interesting, you know, architectural things.
Yeah, see, I always fail to notice like things like that in the background, and I just had the impression like, oh, that's a very, it's like, it just felt very open and just nice and just, I don't know, I liked it.
And it turns out that the woman works in the mall.
Mm-hmm.
And you're thinking, like, what? Like, the mall?
Right. What's so bad about the mall?
It turns out that the Sky High Mall is like actually like in the clouds. And you're right, like you said in the trivia, like it's a bit of a cheesy effect. But, you know, I think they frame it pretty well. You know, they get mm-hmm. the shot of the mall like up in the clouds.
Right.
And then they need to cut to them like going up to the mall. So they find like a steep escalator.
Yes.
And sort of from there, you know, I think they hide it pretty well. I thought they sort of got around the fact that indeed there is no such thing as a mall in the clouds. But to convey them going up to it, I thought that it was shot very well.
Right. I was just like, how does it float? Like, how is it up there? You know, I'm like, come on.
You know, once we're up there, the sliders get jobs and everything because it turns out that they can't spend any cash. The mall doesn't take cash. It's all credit. So they're going to get jobs there. But Wade's family is there, her father and sister. And they don't recognize her.
No clue.
You know, I thought that was an excellent bit of acting on Sabrina Lloyd's part. You know, she when she turns away and Remy, you know, gets to see what's wrong. And she says, you know, I can't deal with this right now. It's the holidays and oh my mm-hmm. God, like, what do I do? And he sort of peps her up to it.
Oh, yeah.
And she turns around with a big smile on her face. Okay, I'm ready to delve in and deal with this now. And then they don't even recognize her, you know? It's almost like, you know, she didn't want to deal with it, but at the same time, she did, you know, because it's her father and sister, even though it's not her father and sister. And the look of devastation that came across her face when they didn't even recognize her. I thought she did a fantastic job.
Oh, yeah. Well, even as they're going up to the mall, like, there's a scene between her and Quinn, and she sounds kind of, like, really, like, ticked off. Like, she's like, when are we getting home? We're never getting home, you know? Or he's like, I'm gonna get you home. She's like, when, you know? So she's missing her family, especially since it is Christmas time now there, you know? She's like, she wants this. And then when she gets the chance, she turns around and is like, oh, I don't get it. I wanted it, but I'm still not getting it. It's right there. I just can't, it's not fully there yet. So yeah, she did a great job, really great job.
And I think this is a great way to sort of weave in a Christmas episode, you know, because we are still in the 90s. It's still common for TV shows to center an episode around Christmas for the Christmas season. So I think they weaved it in really good and then brought in like a whole bunch of morals for the season, you know, themes. So it's like, you know, being with family at Christmas time. And then, of course, the overarching theme of the episode is consumerism. So again, you know, I think it's a great way to sort of have this social commentary whilst doing a Christmas episode in Sliders, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's the best thing they could do for what they're going for here.
They really hammer the whole consumerism thing down, too. It's like the advertisements, the one said something like, already done shopping? Start planning for next year's Christmas. It's like, oh, man, okay. They did a very good job of that. And like the advertisements were very cheesy. Like that tape they played over with the love is gifts or something like that, you know, flashing on the screen and just like the still picture of like the bear and the teddy bear and the remote controlled car or whatever it was. I was like, he could have done a better job on the advertising than just that.
You know, I love our gang getting jobs. Arturo as Santa and then everyone else is an elf.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that worked very nicely to sort of play in. It did make me think, like, how did they get the jobs? Like, you know, do their social security numbers exist or like what?
Is
this like an under the table job or something like that? Because they had to like replace the previous crew, quote unquote, so quickly that they were just like, oh, we'll just pay you under the table or something like that.
Yeah, that brings up a good question because I was thinking, well, you know, Arturo and Quinn and Remy, yeah, theirs would exist, but you know, Wade's wouldn't because she was never, you know, she died in childbirth. So hers wouldn't exist on this world. But then I'm thinking like, well, different worlds, they might have different social security numbers too, because of the way things go, you know? So I don't know. That's one of those things. It's like, whatever, you know?
Well, and at the same time, it could be its own separate thing. You know, it seems that they pay them to an extent of they have to spend the money at the mall. It was all but like $20 that they get to pay for themselves.
They get $200 a day. Half of that is for housing. And then they're required to spend $80 a day. So they only get $20 left over, which, you know, so like if they have to spend $80 a day and they don't spend $80 a day, then they get docked pay. So now they're even more in debt, you know, it's like because they don't have enough money. So they have to use credit. It's like crazy. It's a crazy system.
Yeah. And, you know, there's the whole scene where Kelly docks that woman. For not spending. You know, they say, oh, you know, when they do introduce that you have to spend $80 a day, he says it doesn't matter how you spend it as long as you spend it, right?
Right.
And this woman's like, oh, you know, I have to buy medications for my mother, and that's why my spending's down. I'm like, well, technically, you're still spending the money. You know what? The mall doesn't have pharmacies,
right? Yeah, I don't know. Like, didn't she say something? Maybe I read it in the deleted scene. She said something like how the prescriptions don't count towards spending or something like that.
Oh, okay.
There was, I don't know if she said it or if I read it in a deleted scene or something, but it was something about how the prescriptions don't count towards your spending a lot or whatever it was. I know the guy who introduced them to the place said it doesn't matter how you spend it, but you know, maybe he wasn't thinking about, oh yeah, medications and all that. He's just thinking normal stuff.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It's just, it was what I was thinking. Because a pharmacy is just as much a business as any other business.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that the place would have a hospital in there. You know, what happens when you have an accident, like, and you need to, like, pay the hospital?
Right.
Suddenly you don't have any money. And it's like, well, what are you supposed to do? That's ridiculous.
Right. There is a hospital, because when they first looked at the map, they said, look, this place has schools and a hospital and even living areas. So, yeah, they do have a hospital in there.
Yeah. So it seems that it really does matter what you spend the money on.
Right.
Which could be the point. I don't know. Maybe it's just getting lost on me, but
maybe because, like, they want you to buy, I don't know, like, the big focus, of course, is, like, material, physical gifts, like, whereas pills is for your health, and they just don't care about that as much. They want you to spend it on this, what's the disposable stuff, I guess, maybe? Stuff,
yeah.
I don't know.
So, yeah. So I'm nitpicking here, because the episode itself, you know, has a good message, and I think is a really good story. But when you really start to think deeper about it, it kind of starts to fall apart a little bit.
Well, yeah, a little bit. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and the whole point here is that they are making people spend this money, so they will get in debt, and for all intents and purposes, they've now got themselves slave workforce.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, as far as slavery goes, it's not too bad. You do have pretty nice housing and stuff like that, but you are working for pretty much no money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
You know, not condoning slavery, but, you know, it does actually seem like a pretty good life.
Yeah, it's not terrible. Yeah, yeah. It's not terrible. You're just in debt forever.
Yeah, exactly, aside from the fact that you're in debt.
Yeah, you know, it's like you're going to be living there. You're basically going to be living there for the rest of your life, because there's no way to get out of that debt, really. Not with the way they have it set up.
But I guess the point I'm getting at is that there is worse places to actually live in the world. And
oh yeah,
it does seem like it would be a good place to live if you were making a decent wage and so on and so forth, and not being mind controlled into getting in debt.
Exactly. And that's where we get to the illegal part of what's going on, because you think maybe these people are just like, no, they're just buying stuff. You know, they really want to buy stuff and whatnot. But no, they're sort of being like reprogrammed to buy stuff, even if they don't really want it. They're just the subliminal advertising. I got to go slow when I say that. The subliminal advertising is making them think that they want to spend more, even though they don't really want to.
Yeah. You know, I kind of like the idea of the subliminal advertising. I mean, the way they portray it.
Mm-hmm.
Here is, I don't think, very accurate. You know, when it's just like, oh, I've got this remote. Now let me turn subliminal off or something. Yeah, now we can see all the words.
That was a little weird. I'm like, you know, if that's just a normal remote like we have on our TVs, that's not how you can't reprogram the remote, Arturo. I'm sorry. You can reprogram it to control your VCR or your TV, but you cannot, you know, oh, a subliminal on, subliminal off. He should just done like a freeze frame, you know, like has a special freeze frame mode or something like that.
Yeah, and I think this is a true thing. Like, wasn't this something that sort of came around, like, in the early years of television back in the 50s or something like that, where they would drop in, like, a single frame?
Right, it was just flash, yeah.
To sort of trick people into doing things.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, of course, it's illegal. You can't do it anymore.
Right.
They've made laws against it.
Exactly.
It's an interesting aspect. It actually made me think of there was an episode of The Simpsons, which was about subliminal advertising, trying to make people join the Navy. And Bart was in a boy band. I don't know if you remember it.
I've seen a handful of episodes, not a lot.
Well, they talk about this whole thing about how they had tiers in their advertising, and it was subliminal, liminal, and superliminal. To which they're like, what's superliminal? So he just sticks his head out the window and he goes, hey, you, join the Navy. And Lenny's like, okay. So that's what I always think of when I hear subliminal advertising.
Right.
I thought it was a good thing. And of course, they're going to uncover the whole thing, you know, about how they're deliberately getting people into debt so they are a slave force.
See, when I was watching it, I thought I couldn't remember. I was like, I was watching it and I'm like, oh, well, that's not very subliminal at all, because you could see right on there it says like gift equals love equals gift. But then when they freeze frame it and they show the other, you know, the other, the real subliminal, you know, words that were on the screen, I was like, oh, that's the subliminal part. Okay. Because at first I was like, that's not subliminal at all. I thought that, you know.
Just in your face.
I know. Like, I wouldn't fall for that. Jeez, Remy, what the heck? Remy really, he gets really, he got really like into Quinn's face there too. Like that programming was really intense, you know, because he's only been exposed to it for a little bit and he was ready to knock Quinn out when Quinn wouldn't let him go. So you can imagine the people who live there and work there and see that every second of their day must be like beyond, you know, like I can't imagine.
Yeah, you're right. He does. He just goes off the walls when he, you know, he suddenly realizes, oh, I've only got 10 gifts from Wade.
I know.
Yeah. And at the same time, you're thinking like they're not going to be able to take any of this stuff with them. And he knows that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's that. That's how strong that is.
You know, on the other side, of course, Wade starts hanging out with her dad. I know you were saying, you know, in the trivia there that there was, you know, maybe a couple of other things.
There was a lot more, yeah.
I think as it plays in the episode, it could have been a bit more fleshed out because it sort of just, it comes out of nowhere in a way.
Right. No, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Yeah. If they, like I said, in the latest scenes, they did so, there was so much more to set that up. It was like, that's why I said it's like really nice, because if we had more time, you know, you could have really delved into that relationship, you know, because I mean, the subliminal part of it was cool. I liked it. But like, again, I liked the things where they really delve into the characters, like they were doing with her and her father and Kelly. I wanted more with those three. You know, to see more stuff with them together.
Yeah, and then, of course, you've got Arturo trying to track down Carol.
Right.
You know, we're getting back to that whole thing, the reason they were up there in the first place. And when he tracks her down and tries to talk her into taking her baby back, you know, the reason she left him down there was because, you know, she was in debt. She was a slave. Yeah. She didn't want that life for her baby. Mm-hmm. And he tries to tell her that it's much, much worse, that she has abandoned her child. And he tells this whole story about in World War II when he was a child and having his mother die like right in front of him in a right. huge explosion, and then being left in an orphanage until his father could come back from the war and get him. I mean, he tells this story and I'm just like, wow, what a fantastic character moment for Arturo.
Exactly. Yep. This was wonderful. Really good for him. Then that story actually comes into play in one of the messages in time as well. Someone had a comment about that, which we'll save for later. But yeah. It was a great, I mean, not a great story. It was a horrific story, like you said, but it was very well done. Very well done.
Mm. But on the other side, you know, again, I'm nitpicking here. But I did suddenly think, doesn't he have an estranged son?
He does. He does. And we don't know anything about it besides that, really.
They brought it up once. It's there. It's out there. And yep. Nobody ever talks about it.
Yeah. Well, maybe they'll talk more about the son like in the next few episodes, or maybe next season they'll get to that. Maybe.
Maybe.
You never know. They could. They might.
Maybe.
Anyway. We got Wade saving Kelly from Burnson's, from Ted's evil plan, and reveals who she really is. I thought that was kind of a neat little thing. She's like explaining all these things like, well, you kissed this boy, you know, and then when you were five, you did this. And I thought it was really fun.
I do love that the alarm had a countdown on it.
Right.
Like there's an intrusion on their computer, so we're going to give you 60 seconds to try and figure it out before exactly. We alert the authorities.
Well, that's, you know, isn't that how Norton antivirus works? You know, Gives you 60 minutes on your computer or something. Yeah. No, I don't. 60
that's
seconds.
That's how my house alarm works.
Yeah,
someone
exactly.
breaks in and then my alarm system tells them that it's aware that they're in the house.
You have 60 seconds.
So they better
get
out in the next 15 minutes or I'm calling the police.
Exactly.
So that's a little tropey, but you're right. Yeah. You know, she's bringing up all this stuff and it was slightly different. Kelly as well, you know, when she talks about kissing the boy and she goes, I never actually kissed him. He ran off before we even did anything, you know. And you're right, it was a great moment.
I would love for Kelly to go sliding with them, because yeah, she I've liked her since Deep Space Nine.
That's right. That's what you were saying last week. She's the Davo girl.
She's the Davo girl in there. And I was not big into Deep Space Nine, but I always liked her episodes for sure.
And I do have a note here that Ted looks like a poor man's Hugh Grant. What do you reckon?
He kind of does. I couldn't put my finger on it when I was watching it. I was distracted because he has like the hugest smile. Like his mouth is just wide. When he smiles, like you see his molars, you know, it's like, oh, huge. Yeah.
He's had some work done.
Definitely. But yeah, poor man's Hugh Grant. I like that. I wonder what else he has done. To me, I'm looking at him and I'm thinking like soap opera. You know, like that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. I can't say I've ever seen him anywhere else before or since.
Well, you know, we do have the technology.
We could look it up.
And I'm looking it up right now because I want to see what else he's done, because he's got that, like, he looks like an actor. So I'm just wondering what else he has done in the
He went on to become here. Hugh Grant's stand-in.
there you go. So his real name is Neil Roberts. And oh, look at that. He was in he's an actor and producer. As an actor, he has, let's see, not too much, it's looking like. It looks like a lot of series that he's been on have been just like guest stars.
Right.
He was on Charmed for 6 episodes. He was in the TV movie, I don't know if you remember this, Nick Fury, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, that was the David Hasselhoff one.
He was in that.
Oh, man.
No, that was a show. He was in Baywatch Nights for an episode. Yeah, so he hasn't done a whole lot.
He's a guest star.
Yeah, just like guest stars here and there. Nothing really amazing. He was a producer on Party of Five on Beverly Hills. Oh, he produced Nick Fury. He was a producer on that too. Well, there you go. There's a little bit about Ted Bernson.
The actor we never knew.
Well, then finally, we come to the end, which I was like, you know, Kelly should have been in that picture at the end. Don't you think?
It is odd that she took the picture rather than, I don't know, setting up the camera timer or something and getting a picture of everyone together.
I know. It's like she's part of the family, you know? It's like it should be her, Wade, and her father at the very least, you know? I understand that Arturo had this moment with, Carol helping her with the baby and everything, but it's like, this is her family. This woman's just someone you just met on this world. So I thought that was weird that she wasn't in there. And that reminds me that, boy, Arturo got a good kiss there, didn't he?
Yeah.
It's like, where did that come from? That's like on the cheek. Yeah, I get that. But flat out on the lips. I'm like, whoa. That was odd.
He is European.
It's the accent. It's always about the accent. The women love the accent.
Can you stop the security alert?
Why should I?
Because Bernson's running a scam here. He's cheating people out of their homes, forcing them into debt, and all the proof is in that computer.
Why should I trust you? I don't even know you people.
Tell her.
I know you. Look, when you were 9, you found where Dad hid the Christmas presents. Behind the boxes up on the top shelf in the garage.
30 seconds.
You hated yourself after you found him because you ruined Christmas.
How could you know that?
Because on my world you told me. Kelly, I'm the sister you never had. The one who died at childbirth.
20 seconds.
The first boy you ever kissed was Christopher Sliney.
I never kissed Christopher. When I tried, he ran home. But I never told anyone I even tried.
On my world, he didn't run home until after you kissed him. On my world, Mom and I came home from the hospital. We grew up as sisters.
10, 9, 8, 7.
Okay, so let's get into some messages in time.
All right, so we'll start off with season's greetings, and there was some posts about how they wished, and this is what I said, that they concentrated more on Wade's story instead of the ads part of the episode. And I don't know if they were, obviously they probably didn't have access to the deleted scenes like we do, but like I just think it would have been a really nice episode to see more with Wade and her family, you know, those interactions. Because there was, like I said in the trivia, there was a lot of things where Wade had to step in between her father and Kelly and it caused, problems with Kelly, but not with her dad, and the bonding seemed much more natural. So I got to agree with that person there. There was someone who said they didn't like Quinn hitting on Kelly, which makes sense because it did sort of come out of nowhere, you know? Like, he knows how Wade felt about him, you know? Maybe that's changed a little bit now, but still, it doesn't seem like Quinn would just do that. It makes more sense when you read about the deleted scenes where Wade says, oh, yeah, you couldn't take your eyes off her when you came over for dinner that one time. So it makes more sense that way.
Yeah.
You know? And they said they didn't like him punching Burnson at the end. They should have had Burnson running away and the security guards get him, you know? And I'm thinking, well, you know, that is true, but in this show, Quinn is Kirk, so Kirk has to hit someone every episode. That's the way it goes.
Yeah. Save the damsel, punch the bad guy.
Exactly. There's no need for it. Someone said it was good to hear Remy singing again, and I agree. That was a nice little touch there.
Yeah.
And then someone said, this is what we're going back to that story that Arturo was telling, that moment where he's telling that story and how he has tried this whole episode to help, you know, find this woman and reunite the mother and the baby. This is kind of like Arturo's guardian story, or just like, you know, Quinn's from a couple episodes ago. This is like Arturo's version of that, which I thought, you know, that's cool.
I can say that.
So they said, now, this was more of a general comment, but it was in this thread where the guy said he was tired of the danger of the week formulaic episodes, you know, where they come in and, you know, immediately one of the sliders is restrained or taken off or can't make the slide and they have to figure a way to get out of it. And then Wade gets them out of trouble because she's a hacker and she downloads evidence onto a disk and everyone's all good at the end. They get tired of that, which I agree. They have used that evidence on a disk, you know, thing quite a lot, you know,
like, sure. Well,
I've got all the evidence right here on this handy dandy disk, you know? So I agree about that. But then he went off to say, you know, they need to focus more on the worlds, you know, he wanted an example. Like he said, how about this example? A world where, you know, the majority of people are homosexuals, a world where everyone in the entire world is missing one of their senses. Like they're either blind or they're deaf. A world where everyone does free love and there's no family units, no parenting, everyone just free love everywhere. A world where animals talk, or a computer dominated world. So he listed a whole bunch of these ideas and people sort of said, well, they sort of did a computer dominated world in this episode. They sort of did this world with, you know, like they tried to explain this is where they sort of did it, but maybe didn't realize it to this guy's satisfaction, you know?
Right.
So, and like, I agree to a point. Like I like when they do the alt history of the world and stuff like that and not just, you know, just danger of the week where the timer's broken or whatever.
That's what I say about good sci-fi is that it reflects on the human condition. So give us like, you know, the world and our characters interacting with that world and don't just go off the walls crazy. Even though I liked it, like Fire Within, you know, what's that really got to do with human condition? Nothing. But yeah.
Yeah. Well, then I was very glad to see the next two posts after this guy posted. And I had to include the names that they had used. And it's George Matthew Regenery or something like that. Regenery. George Matthew said, you know, I'm most interested in the show as it presents alternate history. In the first season, we had a Soviet takeover, British Earth, etc. More episodes like these are what I want to see. And then Annie M. posted in response to that, said, I prefer these types of episodes myself as well. Personally, I'd like to see an episode about an Earth where the pilgrims never landed in America and the Native American peoples flourished. And I was like, you know what? I like these two people. George and Annie, you're my favorites right now. Because that's what I like. The alternative history, you know, not just crazy things happening, just something set like in history. That's what I like.
Yeah, I can agree.
All right, then we go to messages in time for State of the Art. And they made a very good point here. Why were the flowers in that room in water? Because robots wouldn't care.
Yeah, you know? Can they smell the flowers?
Exactly. So it's like whatever. So they said what would have been better is to have done plastic flowers, you know, and use the wire in the stem to, you know, conduct the electricity. That would have made a lot more sense, they said, because, you know, obviously flowers, who would care about that, you know? Unless they were just like programmed maybe by Alden to just keep up appearances. I don't know. Just that they said that wasn't didn't quite make sense. And they also said, you know, water isn't really the perfect conductor, like Quinn said, because I guess you have to, I don't know much about it, but they said you have to add salt to it and then it becomes a better conductor, but it's still not the perfect conductor. There was a whole thing about what's the perfect, you know, conductor for electricity in the thread. They said the beginning, and this is where you were talking about how the deserted world, the abandoned world, they said the beginning looked like it was the world from that game world where they had to play that death game, you know, where they had to stay alive because it was all abandoned. They said it looked like it was taken right out from that episode.
Yeah, it's probably the same generic backlog.
Well, exactly. And they said, and then they started comparing the worlds of Desert Storm and Electric Twister Slide Test because of the the desert area and all that. So they were trying to comment on how like they need to like change it up with their shooting locations and stop using so much of the back lot and things like that. They liked Erica, the android Erica, because she was a flawed character. She was not just a copy of Derek. She actually had like flaws that made her much more interesting. You know, it's like, oh, she has like this problem that she has to try to control, you know, or has to somehow they have to try to fix. So they really liked her character. I liked her silver jumpsuit. Anyway, there was, they said, they basically said, despite the flaws that, you know, every human is just gone from Earth, this episode was watchable, unlike some other recent episodes, which, yeah, you gotta, like I said, I agree, you know, we've got those dream masters, you know. And then they made a very good point here, which I hadn't thought about. They said Paul had downloaded Alden's brain into the new body. So, but like, they must have like gotten rid of something when they transferred the brain over because, or else Paul just built a robot that needed to eat and sleep and go to the bathroom and age, you know, because it's like if he was really fully himself in this android body, wouldn't he have noticed that he, you know, doesn't need to sleep or isn't feeling tired? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's actually an interesting idea. I didn't think about it.
Yeah, so it's like one of those robots either built a really good new robot and a more advanced robot for all of them to be into, or, you know, it's maybe they just left stuff out when they transferred the brain pattern over so it wouldn't be remembering that it had to do those things.
Oh, he does eat. They had lunch.
Exactly.
Together.
Yeah. See, he does eat.
Interesting. All right. So we have just a couple of small little messages from Earth Prime as well.
So Russian Cabby _ lottery fan said, great site. He's referring to another thing I put on there about a site that I have. But he says, I love state of the art. Although, as I recall, it might start getting sort of bad. And yes, he's right. Things have been getting a little bit bad, but these episodes were not too bad. He also says Season Greetings is one of the best Sliders episodes for me, and I love the locations. So gotta agree with him.
Okay, so I think all in all, two pretty good episodes this week.
Yeah, not bad at all. And see, we didn't get down on them at all. We still love Sliders.
Yes, we do. And next week, I remember liking these two episodes.
I do too.
Yeah, next week we're discussing Murder Most Foul and Slide Like an Egyptian.
I do remember liking Murder Most Foul more than Slide Like an Egyptian, but Egyptian has some things that I was like, oh, that's cool. All right. Well, that's it for this episode of the Rewatch Podcast. Keep up with listener interaction by liking our Facebook page at facebook.com/rewatchpodcast and follow the show on Twitter at rewatchpod. You can also visit our webpage at rewatchpodcast.podomatic.com, which has some of our favorite links there, such as Dimensions of Continuity, earthprime.com, and the forum over at sliders.tv, which we will do better at letting you guys know when an episode goes up. Because we've been slacking on that. We haven't been keeping the conversation up on our side.
Yeah, we haven't. But remember, you can always write us an email or record a voice message and send it to the rewatchpodcast@gmail.com. Also, if you've enjoyed the show, please consider giving us a rate and review on iTunes. It only takes a minute and it really helps out the show, builds up the listenership and listener interaction. So thank you. All right. So thank you for joining me again this week, Dom.
Of course.
So I'll just say until next time, I'll think of you whenever the particles in the atmosphere catch the light waves and scatter them.
Oh, you're so sweet. We got a slide.
The Rewatch Podcast is not associated with NBC Universal, St. Clair Entertainment, Fox, or Sci-Fi Channel. The use of any and all copyrighted material is only for parody, news analysis, critique, or educational purposes, as provided in United States Code Title 17, aka Fair Use. Music provided by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. Copyright 2015, The Rewatch Podcast. Slide.